We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Andy, 9 days. 9 days until the draft.
How many times, Sam, do you think we can get Vecini on between now and 9 days? So I think we've had him on twice in the offseason. If we can get him on like three more times in 9 days, I think we'll be in good shape. We might be able to get to everyone that we need to.
Sam, what's going on, man? Appreciate you making a little time for us.
No, of course, guys. I think this is going to have to be the last time, unfortunately, before the draft starts. But I am more than happy to come on and give you guys at least a little bit of time, as much as I can. I've got a few podcasts scheduled this week that are like outside of the Athletic Network.
Right.
And you guys are one of them, certainly. We got a few others that I chose to make the time for. I chose to make the time for you guys because it's always fun.
Also, the greatest part, I was telling Sam beforehand as Fendi R, I was like, hey, anytime you listen to a Vecini podcast, it's always like, it's never like 45 minutes. It's always like an hour and a half. Yeah. You know, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he turns it out. That's, you know, great caffeine, great pills, great energy.
Caffeine. It is. Like, do you know that scene in Ricky Bobby where the son is at the dinner table and he goes, I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew.
Right.
Like, that's me except on coffee for, you know, the last 2 months of a draft cycle.
And you've moved literally to the other side of the world. So now your time zones are all off too. So how does that work out with, I mean, right now, I guess is better, you know, because now it's just smokescreen Intel season, right?
No. So I'll be honest. I'm only like in the middle of a work day. I'm only like sort of kind of aware of what time it is in Australia because all of my clocks are set to Pacific time because like I need to know more like what time I'm dealing with in America as opposed to Australia right now.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And I'm sure that's just has you up at the weirdest hours, right?
No, you know what? Like, look, I'm very lucky. And like next week it'll be miserable because I'll have to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and like, you know, have a normal work day. But, you know, I'm very lucky in that, like, I get to largely write and make my own hours, like, as necessary. So that part of it's not going to be a problem. But next week will be, like, I'll be up at 2 o'clock and we'll be, like, rolling by the time 3 a.m. rolls around.
Yeah, we're about to enter the home stretch of smoke screens, and I feel like no one is trying to hide their intentions more than the Warriors at this point. Would you say that's correct? Or do you actually have a feel for what they're going to do? Because, like, the last few mocks, you've consistently hit on the fact that, like, everyone has a different opinion on what direction the Warriors are going.
Yeah, so I still feel that way. It's funny. Like, I've talked to five different agents today, right? It's 5 o'clock your time. I've been up for 6 or 7 hours today.
Okay.
6 hours. And I've talked to five different agents. And the thing that I keep getting told is, look, we have, like, general feels on what teams sort of kind of like our guys and sort of kind of, you know, what teams at the top are going to do. But because Minnesota and Golden State are so all over the place with trade talks and with the prospects that they're looking at, that it is very, very uncertain. And that's kind of why, like, I also haven't really gotten into the, you know, I'm hearing the Golden State Warriors are doing X, Y, and Z. I'm hearing the,
right.
Like, for instance, like, I've heard like four different reports on what the Timberwolves are going to do. I've heard four different reports on what, I've heard 14 different reports on what the Warriors are going to do.
The Warriors are drafting everyone. We know.
Yeah. Like, the Hornets want Wiseman and they want a Kongwu. And if they, but they're also narrowed in on the top three guys. You know, the Pistons are debating moving up for LaMelo Ball, but they also really like Patrick Williams. And then, oh, wait, like, they also need a point guard. So Tyrese Halliburton and Killian Hayes are in the mix. So, like, I have educated guesses that right. I could share with people. But I personally don't feel real comfortable doing that, because at the end of the day, even the sources that I talk to are just like, look, we're all just guessing right now. I could, like, you know, say what the, you know, five separate agents that I talked to today said, and I could publish that. And theoretically, I could say sources told me X, Y, and Z. But you know what? Like, I don't really see that as, you know, I got, like, multiple polar opposite things while talking to people today. So, like, I don't know. I tend to have, like, a very discerning point of view on this stuff. Like, I'm not gonna just, like, throw some shit at the wall and be like, okay, this is what's happening, you know.
That's, not to say that, like, I shouldn't. That's what, yeah, and that's our job. That's our job.
Yeah. And, like, to be honest, like, I'll tell you that, like, I read John Gavone's story today, and, like, a lot of what John wrote is, like, very, very similar to what I'm hearing, but okay. there are, like, some differences. But yeah, like, I think that, you know, there are people who you should listen to on this. John is one of them. John's one of the best in the business.
I was actually just reading his piece earlier, and the thing that stood out to, actually, I want to pull it up now. Of course, I can't find it. The thing that was standing out to me was, like, Patrick Williams rising, but that has very little to do with the Warriors.
Whoa, hey, point. Whoa. Don't say that. Patrick Williams is someone that, you know, every single player is someone that the
patron saint of the Light Years podcast, Patrick Williams.
He is, honestly, like, every time we think of someone that, you know, you think of Jason Tatum, way more polished, right. Way more polished. He just way better coming out of college. Patrick Williams, not even close to that. But I think when you think of someone who has that two-way wing ability, I don't even think that's someone you think of as Vassell, which is another guy that Warriors, you know, the podcasters love, Devin Vassell. I think they love Vassell more than they love Steph at this point. But Patrick Williams is probably the guy that's closest to superstar talent, I think, outside of Wiseman and Edwards and Ball, probably.
So, yeah, kind of. Like, I get it.
Draft.
Like, he's just very, very, very raw. Like, he's very raw still, which makes it very tough to figure out. Like, he's almost like a blank canvas, I think, in a lot of ways for teams. Like, I wrote back in what day did I publish this? October 13th. So about a month ago, I wrote the Williams to Detroit thing that everyone seems to have now.
Right.
I wrote, there is a thought that they like a similar prospect here in Patrick Williams out of Florida State, and this pick starts Williams's potential draft range. So this isn't coming out of nowhere with Patrick Williams, right? Like, this isn't just like a this week thing and like the Pistons are throwing smoke screens. Like, I've probably written it before that, to be honest, because I've heard it for a few months now that that was a thing. So, like, the thing with Patrick Williams is that teams are hunting for upside in any way that they can find it in this draft class. And with Patrick Williams, you have a guy who's 6'8" and looks like a fucking bear. Like, he is absolutely enormous. His shoulders are like fucking boulders on top of his like body. And he's 230 pounds already. And it's very easy to imagine him becoming a 240-pound just like freak of nature who nobody can stop because he's just stronger than everyone else. Right.
Maybe.
And then he has like pull-up ability. And he has some really interesting passing ability. Like, I'm sure you guys have watched the highlights. Like, right. This dude can throw left-handed, one-handed, live dribble passes, cross wing, like kick out, right?
Now you're talking really good. Back into him. We're back. But let's.
Here are the things that worry me about Pat Williams, right? Pat Williams, I think, is getting 15% overrated athletically. He's a good athlete. He is also kind of slow-footed and is not like an elite level leaper at the rim, barely ever leaps off of 1 foot, really. Even off of two, doesn't have like a ton of lift. And then if you watch him in space defensively, he's like not the most fleet of foot. Like, he's not Isaac Okoro out here defensively. I like Patrick Williams. I think he's really interesting, but he's got a long way to go. Like, this isn't like a no-brainer, like, elite-level prospect, in my opinion.
Nice. So the one thing Givony did say here in the article you just referenced, he mentioned, Zach Lowe reported this, and I'm sure you heard similar, that the Wolves and Warriors are trying to trade their picks for a star-level player, but there's no appetite for it. And I don't think it's going to happen. It seems unlikely that, you know, it'll come up. Like, I was just talking with Andy about this earlier today. If I had to guess, I'd say like 60 to 70% chance the Warriors end up staying at two in some capacity at this point. I just don't know that there's a trade there for them, but that still gives you like 30 to 40% chance they trade out of it. I just don't think they're going to get that home run star trade they want. I don't know where you're at with the Warriors there. Like, this is a roundabout way of saying it's either going to be Edwards or Wiseman if they stay at two. I just can't see them drafting someone else at two. They could trade down because they like someone else, but I think they're going to stick there. Where are you with kind of them sticking at two versus moving down?
I think it will depend on what Minnesota does at one.
Okay.
I'm not as convinced. Like, look, I think LaMelo Ball is like 100% in the mix with Minnesota, right? Like, yes. I think that they're strongly, strongly considering taking him. I don't think it's a certainty that they're done on that, though. And let's say that they take Anthony Edwards or something like that, right?
Right.
And LaMelo Ball falls to two. Is there a world where the Knicks want to move up? Is there a world where the Bulls want to move up? You know, like, a very easy trade, I think, is the Bulls moving to number two in order to draft LaMelo Ball. A very easy trade is Charlotte trying to jump Golden State in order to get James Wiseman, if that's who they want, right? Now, I think that that is, like, I actually do believe that reporting based off of what I know. So, and I've published that before. So I think a lot of it depends on what happens at one. If James Wiseman goes one, or if Anthony Edwards goes one, there's going to be a real appetite for that number two overall pick, and they could see offers pour in on draft night to where things get like actually interesting for them.
Okay.
And then at number four, like, I think that they do like Denny. Like, I think that that's sure. Like Ethan Strauss's reporting on that, like, matches what I've heard in terms of like, I think that they like him. I don't know that they like him enough to take him at two, but like, I think that they would be comfortable taking him a little bit further down. So yeah it's, I think it's just like all over the map. You know what I mean? Like there are so many different permutations of the way the order could go right now that it's hard for me to say like Golden State's going to keep the pick. Golden State's going to move the pick. You know, there are too many balls in the air.
I think both teams are both Golden State and Minnesota are a little screwed because the draft isn't great, but then the Golden State's probably a little bit more screwed because Minnesota obviously has the better pick, so a little bit more leverage.
Well, they just have more control.
They want. Lowry Markkanen, by the way, does not excite me. So I've been seeing that pop up more and more, and it's getting a little annoying. But I guess if somebody loves James Wiseman, you know, or LaMelo Ball, then I guess you do it. But
well, let's talk about Wiseman. I mean,
if it's four and Lowry for number two, like I don't even think twice about that. Yeah. Like I'm running to make Adam Silver like do that deal.
It might be there, but I think James Wiseman is, well, he might be the guy. I think today, like if the draft happened 2 minutes ago, we would say maybe the most likely. I think Sam and I agree that James Wiseman would be in a Warriors jersey. So, Smitty, you had a question. Were you just asking his thoughts on James Wiseman?
Well, I was about to get to. I guess I wanted to get Sam's thoughts on where he thinks the Warriors are with both Wiseman and Edwards. I think we can safely limit. They're not drafting LaMelo Ball. They're just not. Like, if they do, a trade will be announced within 5 minutes. I've yet to hear anyone who thinks that they would actually, like, you know, LaMelo Ball will be in a Warriors jersey on December 22nd. So, but Edwards...
That tracks with me, too. Yeah. I mean, look, like, the funny thing is, like, maybe the Warriors are slow rolling all of us. Like, they've released every single name, and then they take LaMelo. Like, that'd be hilarious.
It'd be the ultimate smokescreen, right? It's like a... It's like the Usual Suspects or something, just catching you out of nowhere. But yeah, with Edwards and Wiseman, I guess the more popular name linked to the Warriors has been Wiseman. A lot of that is just obvious. Oh, they don't know who's starting at center, and he's the best prospect at center. But I'm less convinced that if they are sitting there, those are their two options, they should go with Wiseman. I want your thoughts on that. If you're the Warriors and you're not going to trade out of that pick, which you still, I mean, you seem to think it's more likely they would than they wouldn't if they had that. But
I don't know that it's more likely. It certainly is what I would do. But okay. I don't know that they have like the taker for the offer that they want. You know what I think that you guys are right on the money on that.
Yeah. So if you're sitting there, LaMelo goes number one and there's nothing that, you know, kind of excites you in terms of trades. What would you do? And then what do you think the Warriors would do? Like, I know those are not mutually exclusive. Like, who do you like more between the two prospects? And where do you think they would lean at this point?
So I think the biggest question that the Warriors would have to answer on that, and I'll give I will give an answer
okay.
before I go on this little tangent. The biggest answer that the Warrior, biggest question the Warriors have to answer is, are they taking this pick to retain trade value for a potential star trade down the road? Or are they making this pick to add to their core? Or both, right? Like, you can do both at the end of the day with this. But because I think the answers are different, because we've seen the way that centers tend to depreciate in terms of value on the trade marketplace right now.
Right. Unless you're Anthony Davis.
Unless you're Anthony Davis. It would be riskier from a trade perspective to take James Wiseman than it would Anthony Edwards. Because I think that if you're the Warriors, you trust your culture and your veteran leadership to keep Anthony Edwards on the right track and to make him the best kind of player that he can be and have him reach his ceiling. If you're looking at it purely from this guy is entering our core to help us win sooner rather than later, and we need someone that we know is going to help us win, I would take James Wiseman, because I feel very confident James Wiseman is going to be a starting center. James Wiseman is, like, to me, one of the safest prospects in this draft. I think he is going to be a starting caliber center in the NBA. He's too big. He's too athletic. He's too long. He's a good rim protector. He's a great rim runner. He's like an elite level character kid. Like, the flaws are like, look, we think he likes basketball. But does he like love it at the 99th percentile of everyone else? Right.
He's not Jimmy Butler in there at 2 a.m. starting his day.
Yeah. Like, he's not fucking locked in right now, like Jimmy Butler all the time. But that's like, and part of that too is like the idea of guys having different interests off the court, like, and NBA executives getting frustrated with that. Like, this conversation happened with someone like Jalen fucking Brown 2 years
ago. Right, right. Oh, is he too smart? He's too interested in,
remember that?
In activism.
Yeah. And it happened with Jared Allen as well, right? Like, right. That's another one that I remember pretty distinctly. So all of these conversations, I think, tend to be bullshit, because once you're playing to make $100 million at some point, you're going to fucking work. Like, if you're intelligent, that is. Like, if you're smart and mature as a human being, you're going to put the work in. And it's not like NBA players lack for time off the court whenever they're not playing.
Right.
Like, there's a reason Devin Booker sits on, like, Twitch. Call of Duty all day and talks about how funny it was when people found the Hooters with the Fellas tweets. Like, this stuff happens. Yeah, they have time. So if James Wiseman wants to get involved in a number of other things, he's going to have time to do that. So I'm not worried about that part of it with Wiseman, but it's something that comes up.
But the Anthony Edwards, I think, then is you're saying has a lot more upside in terms of a trade chip and as a basketball player too. I mean, moving forward, I mean, you're talking about bigs like Wiseman could just be, I mean, even you just said Jared Allen. It's like, well, yeah, James Wiseman might just end up being Jared Allen, like kind of a nice center guy.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think he'll be better than Jared, but I understand what you mean. Yeah. Like that is a real potential outcome for James Wiseman.
And then Anthony Edwards could be Jaylen Brown.
The floor for Anthony Edwards is Dion Waiters. Like,
so just a little bit lower than a starting center.
Yeah. Like the floor for Anthony Edwards is lower than James Wiseman, because I feel very good about James Wiseman, worst case scenario, being able to play 25 minutes a night and providing very high level rim protection and maybe hitting some trailer threes, right? Ooh. Like, that's like the worst case, I think, for Wiseman.
Maybe like a peak DeAndre Jordan plus an occasional three-pointer type of thing.
Peak DeAndre Jordan was like a three-time All-NBA guy. Like, if that's what we're getting from a floor for James Wiseman, like, fuck. I mean, take him right now at number one. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I always thought he was a little
overrated.
That was some Doc campaigning to a degree.
It was. Look,
I mean, he was a good starter, but yeah, Doc definitely made it seem like he was Bill Russell.
You're 100% right. But if that's the floor, is my point. Like,
sure,
take him now at the end of the day. Like, if he can be better than that, like, if that's the floor, the ceiling is ridiculous then. But I don't think that's the floor. I think the floor is like, oh, I'm trying to come up with a name off the top of my head that is like a limited, it'd be like maybe a knockoff Miles Turner might be the floor.
Okay.
Like, if we think Miles Turner is like a starting center in the NBA, who's like a league average starting center, like it'd be like slightly less.
Well, Warriors fans do love them some Mount Turner. So you
ironically, that's like the name that we always argue is like the lowest caliber of player that we'd want the Warriors to trade the number two for. So
and the trade exception, yeah, that is the guy. So Messina, you really hit it. You're really appealing to all Warriors fans. It's everyone's favorite.
Yeah, I would just take look me personally, and like I said, I would answer the question, and I've gone
sure
in a roundabout way of answering the question. I would take James Wiseman personally over Anthony Edwards. And it's because I trust James Wiseman more. And because I think that putting James Wiseman in a locker room with Draymond Green would help James Wiseman.
Couldn't you make that same argument with Anthony Edwards? If you're saying your fears for him are, well, we've all watched him play enough to notice there's some Wiggins-esque tendencies to float and take terrible shots. Right. And like you would think putting a player like that on the Warriors where, you know, if he's not going to do the right things, it's not like they don't have perimeter players. And it's not like they can't, you know, cut his minutes in half or all that sort of stuff. Isn't there that, you know, where it's kind of like you put him in that situation, in theory, you get what, you know, some sort of good version of him.
So there's like a difference in who they are, right? And like I don't want to fucking psychoanalyze
sure
in like
but teams, you know, are
absurd way. Yeah, I mean like this is exactly what teams are doing, by the way. But like, you know, it's like I've talked to Anthony Edwards like once in my life. Like it's unfair for me to like do this, right, on some level. And I've talked to James Wiseman, I think, once or twice in my life. So it's unfair for me to do this on some level too, in the other way. The questions with Anthony Edwards are, will he do the right kind of work and be willing to do the right kind of work to reach his ceiling? With James Wiseman, it's not about that. Like it's not a maturity question. Like James Wiseman has a world of maturity.
I get where you're
going. Anthony, yeah, like it's not that, like Anthony Edwards has dealt with a lot of tragedy in his life. Like his mother passed, his grandmother passed like very early in his like, you know, teens. He's been raised by his brother and his sister, and like it's been,
I mean, you situation. You feel for a kid who's, you know, that's their background.
Yeah. And like his father is, you know, was not necessarily like a part of the inner circle from what I gather. So like you feel for a kid like that 100%. And teams are a little bit more uncertain, I think is the way to put it, about how mature he is at this stage of his development in terms of like, will he do the right things consistently? That's why, like, whenever you hear, like, I think that Cavoni alluded to it in the story by saying like, you know, he didn't look great at his pro day. Didn't, you know,
right,
seem to be taking it like seriously and didn't, look great there. Right. Is he going to be willing to put in the preparation to be consistent as a person, right? Like that was his one opportunity this time on TV to be able to like say, I am the number one pick. And he looked worse than Tyrese Maxey during the workout.
Yeah.
So like that's concerning to NBA teams, right? You know, he mentioned like, NBA teams don't believe he will reach his, or have more questions about how likely he is that it'll reach a ceiling. He'll reach a ceiling. That's why.
That's questions, that's fair. About, yeah.
That. I think so, that tells me if I were
to guess.
Look, if I were, you know, maybe Atlanta, or you did say Atlanta, but maybe if I were another team, the Knicks or Charlotte or someone, right, whereas one of these bottom feeder teams where I don't know if their coaching or organization are very good, then that's probably bad. I would say if you're the Warriors front office, I'd assume that the Warriors are probably going to be like, we'll take James Wiseman because of that. But I think on the other side, if you're also the Warriors front office, you're also like, well, I mean, where else is he going to become, What is his upside? What is it? They say Dwayne Wade. Where else is he going to become Dwayne Wade? Right? Then our building.
Yeah. It's definitely a rose-colored upside.
yeah. To me, it's like bouncy Bradley Beal, almost.
I mean, that's great. Which again, that's amazing. If he became a bouncy Bradley Beal, that would be the best player in the draft, just most Bradley likely.
Yeah. Or maybe poor man's Bradley Beal is okay.
Yeah.
But I want to.
The upside is like bouncy Bradley Beal, like guy that frankly doesn't really take defense as seriously as he probably should, right? Mm-hmm. Like Bradley Beal was not good defensively this year in a very bad situation in Washington. Very, very high level shot creator. Guy that, in college with Bradley Beal, if you go back and look at his numbers, did not shoot it as well as you would think Bradley Beal shot it in college. I would say like bouncy Bradley Beal.
He and on a different side note, he and Devin Booker are always the guys who I'm like surprised by their 3-point percentage, because in my mind it seems like it should be higher because of how pure their shot looks. But all right, Sam, so you have a hard stop, so we want to I want to get to this last part before you go. The second part of Givony's peach, which you alluded to and you've written basically the same thing, is the next tier of players outside the guys who are projecting to go top three. Everyone's kind of in agreement who they are. They just have different orders. So it's like Denny, mm-hmm. Obi Toppin, Isaac Okoro, Tyrese Halliburton, Onyeka Okongwu, Patrick Williams. I guess you could throw Killian Hayes potentially in there too.
I mean, there's a chance he goes as high as like 8, but sure. I don't know that I see it.
Okay.
Quite in that tier necessarily. Maybe. I mean, it's not impossible he goes in that tier. I think the teams think of him as like generally a little bit lower than those other guys.
Got it. Okay, so we'll keep him off that list then. Ethan Strauss will not get his dream of Killian Hayes to the Warriors. Of those guys, who do you like the most for the Warriors, and who do you think they like? We talked about Denny before. We've talked about Obi. I personally think Isaac Okoro is a player. He just screams Steve Kerr to me, flaws and all, even. But where do you land on it in terms of if the Warriors trade back to 4, 5, 7, 8, something like that?
Yeah, I would say Okoro or Okongwu, personally. If they want to keep running like a crazy switchable defense like they did in the
glory years
previous era. Like I guess like still the same era, but the first part of this era.
Sure.
I like Okoro a lot because it would really unlock a lot of different defensive coverages. Also another guy that's like very mature, very trustworthy. You could get him on the court immediately and I think there would be zero problems. Same with Okoro as well. Okoro, get him on the court with zero problems right now. I think he's a really underrated passer. Like I think his comparison is like, I really think his comparison is Andre Iguodala. Like I just genuinely hard.
And that is why I think he just screams the guy the Warriors like. They just don't want to take him at number two.
Yeah.
And
like I'll tell you this, like I talked to quite a few coaches in the SEC that were like, yeah, we liked Okoro better than Edwards when we played them.
I could see it. I mean, he matches all the kind of like it and then just fitting in with the Iguodala and Draymond perspective of his fatal flaws is shooting. So it does everything else at a high level, right?
Yeah. I have some concerns about the shooting as well. But he does everything else at such a high level. And he is like a similar level of doesn't give a fuck about stats, makes the winning play every time. Like that's what he does. Every single level that he's been on, his team has won games consistently. Every level, high school, AAU, Auburn, they lost like 5 games, 2 of them when he was out this year. Like he's an absolute winner in like a real way. And that's something that like, look, like I've started to care about more the more I do this. Hmm. Like I do care more about like guys that are high IQ, that are winners, that are tough, that are, that do that. Like those are just the guys that tend to come in and make an impact.
We did have Seth Partnow come on the pod last week and he echoed something similar from a front office perspective that it is hard to gauge that, but you do have to gauge it. It's like Draymond Green. It's like the guy just won.
Yeah.
Like he was fat and
It's like, easy to look at all the things he can't do from a physical standpoint that you almost sometimes forget that, like, every team he's on tends to win at a pretty decent clip.
No, 100%. Like, it's really easy to look at someone like, I'm trying to think, like, I'm pulling up my, I have a list up here. It's easy to look at someone like a Pat Williams, like I did earlier.
Right.
And like, I'll just like shit on myself here. Right. And like point out everything that he can't do. But then you have to remember, like, holy fuck, this guy's 6'8", has like an almost 7-foot wingspan, looks like a bear, is stronger than almost everyone that is his size, and has actual basketball skill, and like knows how to play off ball team defense. Like, that's a win right there.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Okay, so on the Okoro front, what teams do you think are also interested in him aside from the Warriors at this point? I'm trying to gauge, because I genuinely do think if they trade down to somewhere between 4 and 10, he's the guy they're gonna want. That's just so, my personal opinion.
I think Chicago will look. I don't know that he would be super high on my list for Chicago, but sure, it's tough to gauge what Chicago is looking at specifically, because it's Arturas's first general manager, like running the show of the draft. Right. It's the first time. So I think other teams and agents and everyone across the industry struggling to figure out where exactly he thinks that they're going to go. I think Cleveland will strongly look at Okoro. I've written before that they really like Denny and that they really like Obi Toppin. I think they will also strongly look at Okoro.
Okay.
Detroit, obviously there is the Patrick Williams rumor.
Right.
If Patrick Williams, for some reason, is gone, like some team moves ahead of Detroit to take him because it seems like everyone in the industry thinks that Detroit likes him, I don't think I would be surprised if they took Okoro. I haven't heard him for the Knicks necessarily. I haven't heard him for Washington either.
Got it.
But, you know, I heard him for Sacramento before Sacramento fired their general managers and like their front office. I don't know. That's the other thing. Like, Monty McNair is like a total wild card from Sacramento, or for Sacramento. San Antonio is a real wild card right now too, I think. You know, a lot of the guys that'll be in their range are guards, and
all they have is guards. So
all they have is guards. And I think that they were also looking at this draft as like a potential to go upside as well, I think. And like, do they look at someone like, I think they like Pat Williams. But I don't know that Pat Williams gets there now. So right. who do they look at? Like, I can throw upside names out there, sure, but like no one, I've heard a bunch of them for San Antonio. So like, I don't know that I want to throw any names out there.
Okay. No, that makes all sense. Okay. You have to take off now. So you want to plug anything before you get out of here?
No, I haven't written anything in a while. Just go subscribe to the Game Theory podcast. I'll have something, I'll have a lot coming on Monday and maybe later this week. But up until then, I'm, you know, I don't think I've actually published anything for a month because of that. So, but I have, it's not because I moved to Australia. It's because I have like a bigger project forthcoming.
Warriors fans are waiting with bated breath. Sam Vecenie is every Warriors fan's favorite for the past
gonna
year
make plus. Going to make a run at Seth Partnoy for the largest athletic series of the month.
All right. Hold on. No. Time out. I ranked every team's rookie scale prospects and did it on average for like 7,000 words a story, and here is Part now coming in like, oh yeah, like I teared out all the players and wrote like a paragraph on them. Get the fuck out of here now.
Hey, elite marketing
from Seth. This is a total joke. I genuinely love Seth Part now. He's like the best human being.
He's great. You guys are great, man. Vecenie, hey, get some sleep. Go talk 20 more agents. You know, we're looking forward to draft night, man. I'm excited. So we appreciate you coming on, bro.
Appreciate it, Sam.
Yeah, of course, anytime, guys.
Indeed. Even though sports had a break, your business did not. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more difficult than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people and fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs that are 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. So right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it and fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is the best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through the end of the year, December 31st. All right, we got Bet Online. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win the season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BlueWire at betonline.ag. That's BlueWire, all one word, BetOnline, your online sports book expert.
Always good to have Vecini on here.
That was just incredible.
Just right? Always high-level stuff there. Confirmed some stuff that you and I were thinking. Also gave us some new info. Hope that was good for the listeners.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sam, my instant reaction, we'll get some of these questions here as we round out the podcast. But it feels like to me that Wiseman is at the top of the list. You know, they want Anthony Edwards. If he's there, they'll begrudgingly take him. But they'd rather trade down. They love Okoro, Onyeka, Kongwu, Denny Avdija. Like, those are their guys. Like, they want those guys, but they don't want them at two. They want Wiseman. They definitely don't want LaMelo. And Edwards, they'll just take because
I'm almost wondering if they're leaking the Edwards stuff just as a smokescreen, because no one buys that they want LaMelo. But they need people to think they like Edwards so that teams will, like, offer them trades if he's available at number two. I can't tell because, you know, Sam did bring up the maturity stuff, and it's a little worrisome. You definitely don't want to hear that. But also, yeah. But also, you know, he's really talented, man.
Also, he's 19, right? And that's the thing. Like, I hear it. And Vecini made a good point, too. He said, hey, like, this is the stuff. I'm not saying any of the stuff. This is stuff that, you know, these organizations are thinking of and they have to think of. And partly for me, it's like, I don't know if I care about any of that stuff. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it shouldn't. He's 19. Really, he's not. It doesn't seem like he's a bad guy. Like, some of the stuff he can't have help. And what happened to him, like I said, if he ends up with the Knicks, then yeah, probably goes bad. But if he ends up with the Warriors, I would probably be in on it. I just don't think, after hearing what Vecini said, that I don't think that the Warriors are going to do that.
I have zero doubt his agent, Rich Paul, wants him to land with the Warriors. You know, we make our clutch jokes here, but like, I think every prospect hopes their guy hands with the Warriors, just because, like, if you go through the scenarios here, it's like, Minnesota, you know, Charlotte, they don't really know who they are yet. Chicago's kind of interesting, but it's certainly not as interesting as getting, like, your top prospect with Steph Curry and Draymond and Clay. And you can keep going down the list. Like, it's weird for a team with kind of the established culture as of the Warriors to be picking at number two. So, yeah. You know, I don't know. I think the other thing that was interesting to me was some of the trade down options. You know, I kind of was thinking they liked Okoro. The way Sam discussed it now makes me feel very confident they like Okoro.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the big one. That was a big takeaway where I heard him say it. And you've been on the Isaac Okoro bandwagon here for the last month or so. I think you were quick to notice that, hey, this is someone that the Warriors weren't really talking about or really leaking. But when you hear what Vecini said, you're like, well, shit. Like, that's, like, believe me, man, if the Warriors could draft him at two and like kind of not worry about like blowback or any of that value stuff, I bet you they would. Like, they would.
And for me, the question with him just as a prospect, so like Sam discussed this, he's going to be a high level defender in the NBA. And he's a smart passer. So obviously that screams Warriors, but like, you know, that's also like Marcus Smart. That's also like Justice Winslow, which is kind of like a disappointing return, right?
Just hurt a lot. I'm still in on Winslow. He's hurt a lot, but yeah.
I know, but like, you know, right. And if you take Justice Winslow and like, you know, like Anthony Edwards turns out to be like Oladipo, you're not going to be happy with yourself, is my point. But like, for me, the real question, which we didn't get to explore, Sam, is can he score? Like, because he had some highlight plays where he goes off the dribble to the rim. And like, even we've seen someone like Jimmy Butler who can't shoot the ball. But like, if you can at least handle the ball and get to the rim, you know, that's what Draymond and like Marcus Smart, Iguodala in the later years can't do. You know what I'm saying? Like, those guys are just pure passers because they're not scoring threats.
Okay, so I think you brought up Marcus Smart, and I think there's a difference here, and I think it's something that's not physical, right? I think with Andre Iguodala, maybe less so with Draymond Green, but let's stick with Andre Iguodala. His problem is mental because he doesn't score. It's not anything to do with he can't shoot. I mean, he can't really shoot, but he doesn't go up for layups. He passes when he's right under the rim.
He avoids contact to the rim.
He avoids contact because he can't really shoot free throws unless it's in crunch time, which is weird. But like, the thing with Iguodala is, right? Like, the thing with Iguodala is he just doesn't want to score. Like, he could probably average 16 points, which is not
a lot, but he did when he was younger.
Right? And I think some of it's like they thought he was going to be like the next AI, right? All that type of stuff. So maybe some of that's like
he was averaging 15 and they wanted him to average 25.
You don't see that type of stuff from a guy that's just coming in from college. Like, I highly doubt that Isaac Okoro, like, you develop that type of mental roadblock. It's like how Draymond can't shoot now. I do think some of it's mental, that he just doesn't even try to shoot or he's just petrified. So I think you develop some of those things. So yeah, I'm with you. I think he's more Marcus Smart, where it's he probably can't shoot, but he can get to 34. He could get to 35. Well,
and the thing that's more interesting to me is, can he finish in traffic? Because the big problem with Marcus Smart and Draymond is they're never going to be great shooters, but they also can't finish in traffic. They're both too small, not athletic enough. That's the difference between them and, let's say, young Andre. Young Andre could finish at the rim. Yeah. Can Isaac Okoro? Because if he's a guy who's going to shoot 32% from three, but get to the free throw line and do kind of some of the attack the rim like Jimmy Butler type of things, that's fine. That's a star, especially when you consider he's going to make all the winning plays in the margins, right? Yeah. And that's the part I'm kind of curious about with him. I have zero doubt he's going to be a productive, good player. It's a value thing for me. Like, do you really – like, how mad would you be if they traded down for the next Marcus Smart and the guy that they didn't pick, James Wiseman, ended up being Chris Bosh? You know, like, that's like your worst-case scenario, right? Yeah. Like, they went too safe.
I think there is a chance of that happening. I think they will take Wiseman. I think Wiseman at two. I'm damn near about to just say that's going to be the guy, right, Sam? Like, I think like that's it. That's the guy. If he's there, they're taking him. I think what
and a trade's not there. Like, if they stay at two,
I don't know. I think they may just say we'll take him. Like, even if like Vecino was saying, he was joking, but probably not. Like, the Warriors should just go sprint if Lauri Markkanen and four is there for two, right? Like, let's say Wiseman is there and that trade offer is there. Like, what do the Warriors do? Part of me is like, I don't know. I feel like the Warriors might just take Wiseman and get it done. Like, I don't know. Or do they get Markkanen, who like doesn't fucking play defense? Like, is he really a basketball, like an NBA player? I don't think so.
No. He
can shoot.
He can really shoot. What's his upside without defense? Kelly Olynyk? Like, it's fine. You're never closing with that. So,
and then you're picking up a scrap, like a fringe role guy, like a Coro or Denny. Maybe, but that's someone that they love. So to me, it's like, I think the decision, the scary part is, I think they do that trade if Anthony Edwards is there. So let's say Charlotte moves up and goes to one and get Wiseman. And then the Warriors are not really stuck with, because they can move the pick, but they were like, oh, I don't think we want Edwards. So let's just move back and get a Coral. Right. Like I think that's what they would do. Like, that's your fear, is that Anthony Edwards then becomes Bradley Beal, and the Warriors are like, shit, we have, you know, shitty Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're obviously talking upsides and everything, but it's like, if he turns into Bradley Beal and you traded down for Marcus Smart, you're, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, but like it's just playing it too safe. And I don't know, it's interesting. Like I like a lot of the players in this draft, but it's so hard to project which one will end up being the best. Like the odds, like we always say, no draft is bad. It's only bad because you can't, like, there's no Zion. There's no obvious Ben Simmons guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like someone random, like Killian Hayes at 12, maybe the best player. And then everyone in 4 years will claim he was number two on their board, and they got vetoed by their owner, you know?
Sure, yeah. Yeah. No, that's we haven't spent too much time. I mean, I
pulled a random name. Yeah.
He's talked about Obi Toppin before. I don't think that's a target anymore for the Warriors, but he's talked about him as like a great offensive cog for the Warriors if they wanted him. I think Danny Avdija is, we were on this in literally in like January, Sam, like we were talking about Danny Avdija. So the Warriors, not surprising to either of us, love him.
I was in my 20s when the draft season started and I'm in my 40s now. So
I think, which by the way, we should plug this, Light Years draft live next Wednesday. We are having a pre-show with Light Years Premium. If you have not subscribed to Light Years Premium, which comes with Discord, extra podcasts, Sam sources, which I'm not joking about, Sam sources, goes through the league rumors. Sign up. It's on the Blue Wire Pods website. I think Sam has a tweet pinned. I have the tweet pinned. Sign up there. We have a draft show coming next Wednesday. That's exciting. I mean, that's
and actually on this week's premium, we will unveil our big boards. That's what it was. The big boards are coming out this week. So, you know, trying to give a little extra content. But hey, before we get out here, let's we had a bunch of great questions on Twitter, okay, as always, and we gotta get to some of them. Let's see. Okay, Keanu. Shout out my Persian homie here. I already answered your question though, but got a two-part question. Who do you think the Dubs would prefer to be taken first overall? Do you think if Ball is on the board, there would be an eager buyer that would be formidable for the Warriors? Okay, Sam kind of talked about this. I want to ask you, what do you think is the best case scenario for how the Minnesota pick plays out?
Anthony Edwards. It has to be. Yeah, if they get Anthony Edwards, a couple things, right? The Warriors, they can go with James Wiseman because that's their top pick on the board, or somebody wants LaMelo Ball at two and they've smoke screened enough or they've done something enough to the point where somebody wants to move up for LaMelo Ball. So I think that's best case scenario. They get the guy they want, or they can get enough value to trade back.
Okay. I think, yeah, I'm with you there. I think if LaMelo falls, someone's going to want to trade up, and that might Sam mentioned Chicago. Obviously Chicago doesn't have a point guard, and LaMelo might entice them as like a, you know, future star. And then the Knicks, we know, like LaMelo. So maybe both those scenarios might work out well for the Warriors to trade back and get, I mean, they might be able to get Wiseman at four, to be honest, but you never know. How happy would they be if they could get something out of the Bulls and get the guy they wanted it to?
Wiseman and Markkanen just kill me. Just Wiseman, Markkanen, Smiley, Chris, Looney. I mean, it's just going
to
be.
Hey, man, it's the Warriors. The roster has to somehow have 7 fives on it at all times.
And then Draymond, just Jesus. Did you hear the Atlanta Hawks? That seems to be an interesting one as a team that moves up, Sam. I think Kevin Herter is a interesting name.
That's, I love Herter. I think I would. I think I would do six. I would do Herter to move back from 2 to 6. Really good shooter. Very underrated playmaker. I don't know. What are your thoughts on her? I think that's actually a really nice play back option because Herter's still young, so there's upside there. But you also know he's a guaranteed 20 minutes of high-level play off the bench and, like, quite frankly, it'd just be nice to have a legit shooter off the bench.
So that there, that's number one. I'm a little bit confused why this trade is popping up. I don't know why Travis Schlenk would be moving this pick. I don't know what he wants. But again, Travis Schlenk is someone that has moved up and down the draft, right? Like, he's not afraid to wheel and deal. He moved, you know, for Trae Young, and then he moved up again. He got another guy who sucks. I forget his name. It's not coming to me right now.
Cam Reddish. Yeah, I like Cam Reddish. I'm a big. I would love Cam Reddish on the Warriors. I think he's going to be good. He might be a year or two away still.
Might be 4 years from 4 years. Kevin Huerter is you know, he's almost 40% from three, right? So, like, they love the Clay comparisons. Nobody's Clay, but like, I just
3.8 assists last year. I think he's actually.
I would do that in 2 seconds.
A little more. Well, he's not Tyler Hero. He's not hijacking the offense from 40 feet, but he's got a little bit of playmaking chops there. Like, he fits what the Warriors want to do on offense. Yeah, he's not much of a defender, but
yeah, but you could, I think it would be a fantastic move. I think they could get him and insert him in as a bench role, and then you could get someone like a Coral, which they probably would if he's there, right? Like, or Denny Avdija, like, they'll probably, like, one of those guys are going to be there if they're going to get,
or
back
even Onyeka Okongwu, you know,
who they love as well. Yeah.
I mean, so. All of a sudden, if they got, like you said, if they got Huerter and Okoro, now they have two young wings. All of a sudden, their wing rotation,
yep.
It's nice. That's a lot of good players there. It's a lot.
That would be best case.
A lot of good Warrior style players. Yep. So yep. I like that one. And by the way, that was from GS Warrior 18. Shout out to you for listening. Let's go to the next question here. Okay.
Somebody's Kenton Wong's asking about Sam Sources. That's premium only. I'm sorry.
Premium only. I'm sorry, guys. We got a little of it. I did leak some Okoro stuff with Vicini, and by leaked, I mean I just got Sam to confirm stuff. So and by that, I really just mean Sam just did. So we got the actual Sam Sources on this episode.
Oh, that's great. There's a Cam Reddish question too. How do we like, that's great. I didn't even see that one.
Well, I mean, there was now everyone's, once the Hawks insider said they want to trade up. Now we have, all of Warriors Twitter scanning the Hawks roster, trying to figure out like who we can take.
Option zero has 18 trades that he's ready to throw out there.
Okay. From SNE Gussie 64. In my eyes, it seems like the Warriors are smoke screening and devaluing Wiseman. What are your thoughts on the Warriors trying to devalue the bigs in the draft in order to trade down and select them later?
You know, I did think a lot of light years when Vicini was talking. You know, what do you think about this, Sam? Do you think that what the Lakers did in the postseason is something that the Warriors care about? Like, is it something that is going to change how the league is going to be run the next few years? I personally think not. But I want to hear your thoughts, because that's kind of like, you know, Dwight Howard, Bron James, Anthony Davis, like a jumbo, super big kind of lineup, right? JaVale McGee. Like,
if I asked you what is the perfect small ball front court, it's LeBron and AD. I don't think they did anything special schematically. I think they just got the perfect small ball five and the perfect small ball four. They just happen to be huge. So it's always going to be difficult to deal with that, because, I mean, LeBron is a wing who's the size of a Bam Adebayo. And, like, AD is just huge in his own way. So, like, I guess to your point, I don't know that they've changed anything other than, like, the requisite has always been to find mobility as big as you can find it. Like, find the most versatile size you can, I guess. Is that like you can,
oh, I'm with you. Like that's, it's not, it's, you don't want to stick, like, what is it? The square into a circle. Like, that's not what you're trying to do, right? Just because James Wiseman, let's take James Wiseman, for example, and he ends up being a league average center. Like, just because he's a league average center doesn't mean that he should be your center. Like, just because he's big. What the Lakers had did last year is their best players were big, is what you're trying to say. Like, the Warriors had Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. that was the best front court in the NBA because it's Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. Those are like the two best defenders, right? And it's like it's simply just that. You don't just want to pick some guy because he's super big. Now, if you think James Wiseman ends up being Chris Bosh, then by all means do it. But if not, you don't just pick him.
But isn't the reason you like Wiseman is because he's mobile, not because he's 7'1"? Or it's like the combination. Like if he was 7'1" and moved like Jokic, would you be all that excited?
Right. Right.
That's the point.
The problem with Wiseman too is also now I'm kind of in on Wiseman. I actually have been for the last couple months, but he's not that mobile. Like Yeke Okongwu is a lot more mobile, but he's a lot smaller. It's a problem. He's like 6'9". But he's
Congo definitely moves better laterally. That's the thing.
He's just tiny compared to Wiseman, but you know, maybe that's the next BAM. But all right, let's get through a couple more.
From B-Ball Archives, it's common on Twitter to rank Kawhi and Giannis ahead of Steph. But if Steph were on the Bucks in the place of Giannis and the Clippers in the place of Kawhi, do either of those teams lose in the second round?
Do you want to go first? I guess I have an answer.
I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah, I think, okay, first off, I think these teams were built, especially the Bucks were built for Giannis, at least in the vision that they have for Giannis, right? Like it's like if they had Steph the last 4 years, I don't think they're building, you know, they're not, that's Eric
you
Bledsoe.
You don't think they get Eric Bledsoe.
Exactly. We both said the same thing. Like, I don't think Eric Bledsoe is on the team. So that being said, I think the Bucks are a little bit harder to gauge. So I'm just going to do Clippers because I think that Steph fits perfectly with the Clippers. And I think that's a team that he could probably get the Clippers to at least a Western Conference Finals. Like, can you imagine Steph with Montrezl Harrell as a cutter, as a screen setter? You got Paul George as his, right? Like Paul George as his guy. Like Kawhi is not really a guy that makes the best out of players. Steph is literally the opposite. He makes the best out of players. And I think him and PG would just be incredible. The Steph Lou Will backcourt is a problem. I don't know how they handle that.
Not getting a lot of stops.
No, but so maybe you bench him for Pat Bev. But I think Steph and the Clippers, yeah, they don't lose in the second round. I will say that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I love those players, but yeah, I think Steph has a larger team impact than both of them. Yeah. From Vitaly 510, I like that Jeremy Grant was brought up on the last episode. What would we have to give up to get a player like Jeremy Grant? I don't think the Warriors can get Jeremy Grant, to be honest, because he would either have to accept a mid-level exception or they would have to do a sign-and-trade, in which case they hard cap themselves. And they don't want the hard cap because it's going to be even worse this year. So I'm kind of staying away from guys who I know are non-options there. I would love him on the Warriors. Like, he does fit what they want. He is close to the perfect small ball four next to Draymond at five. But I don't think he's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm going to zoom through a few more before we get out of here. Let's see here. Option zero. Oh, option zero. We finally got, I feel like we haven't seen a question from him in a while. So would the Warriors be more enticed by an actual player for the second pick or draft capital with picks in this or next year's draft? It's a good question, Sam. What do you think?
I think they would prefer a player, but I don't think they prefer it that much. I think if they get the right picks, they would take, like, they're going to do the trade that gives them the most assets for a future move. So for example, someone like Herder or Lowry are rookie deal players where they still have a bunch of value for a future move and they help you now. I think they would prefer that to future picks per se, but they wouldn't be opposed to future picks. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen by having all these picks in the future, right? It's going to allow them to make trades.
Maybe they can actually draft someone that's good. We'll see. Adarsh the first.
Whoa, don't get too ahead of yourself.
No. Adarsh the first, based on the performance of rookies and young players in the bubble, along with the fact that next year we'll have minimal fans in the bubble type atmosphere. This is a great question. Do you think that top prospects like Edwards, Wiseman, and Okongwu, et cetera, could be very solid playoff contributors next year? It's a good question, Sam. Like, do you think these guys, because it's just going to be an easier environment, do you think these guys are going to be better next season?
The Tyler Hero?
Yeah.
That's
also a great point.
Maybe. I don't know if we're going to get a bubble next year, honestly. You know, we got the vaccine coming. Who knows? It feels like we're getting too ahead of ourselves on that one. I actually think the opposite. I think it's going to be really hard for rookies initially, because they're going to pick the 18th. They're going to fly to the Bay on the 19th. And then camp opens on the 1st. And then they play games on the 22nd. Yeah. It's like, it's all really quick. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, let's say they take Wiseman, if his first couple months are pretty sloppy, and then he starts getting into the flow in a way that's worse than a normal rookie.
The thing is here, keep in mind, like you say, Tyler Hero had a normal offseason and regular season.
Then they had a 4-month break where they could do team workouts. Miami was one of the only teams who was still working out together during the whole COVID.
God, that's so Miami. That's just so fucking Miami. Just
Jimmy's running the drill sergeant Jimmy.
God, Danielle Fofana. This is going to be a quick one. It's November 18th. Let's say you're Bob Myers. You're in the draft room. You got one goal. Get a ring. What do you do? Which player do you select? Which trade do you try? I think we both agree it's Wiseman, right? If you want to win a ring.
I mean, I'm very in on this Herder and the number 6 right now. I can't stop thinking about it, but but I don't think it's there. So I'm with you. If you stay at 2, it's Wiseman.
Which realistic trade do you try? The thing is, I don't know. If there are any trades, we've talked for months and months and months and months about these trades. Now we're a week away, Sam. I don't think that there's a trade that I think the Warriors should do. That's realistic. I don't see a path to anything. Just nothing I can think of. Like, yeah, of course, traded for freaking Giannis. Great. If you could traded for Josh Richardson, even if you could, but I don't think any of those are there. And I don't think you're making a trade to go down and get, Marvin Bagley. Like, no, I don't want that. So I don't think there's anything.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm kind of in on Bagley, but I am with you that I don't know that these trades are going to appear that we want them to. So I'm kind of proceeding that they won't. Last question here. I want to end with this from Kosunju 16. Niners versus Warriors clone season thoughts. Injuries derail a championship team to give a higher pick an ability to reload and not rebuild.
Okay, so there are a couple differences, right? The Niners, they've got the top pick in like 6 rounds. They have like, I think, 8 picks. Also, the Niners, the draft, NFL draft is always good. Right, there's just too much talent.
You're more likely to get a serious contributor as a rookie. Yep. Like Nick Bosa would have won MVP.
That's another great point.
If they held off Mahomes there, like there's no world in which
they were holding Bosa.
An NBA pick is as good at basketball in year one as Bosa was in football.
That's a great point. That's the number one point. The point I was going to make was that you just get more players in the NFL. You could just rebuild with a fourth round guy could be a starter, could be a starting cornerback for you.
Shout out Dre Greenlaw, right?
Right. Like incredible. I think he went a 6th round actually, or 5th round. And it's like, we're over here with the number 2 pick, even in a shitty draft, praying that James Wiseman could be like some type of contributor, right? Like in the way that Dre Greenlaw was. Like if Wiseman had Greenlaw impact, and we're talking about a top 2 pick. So, there's a bit of a difference. Also, the Niners seem like they're going to be good here for a while, Sam. I think, provided that they get some type of quarterback, if it's not Beathard or if it's Mullins and Beathard next season, you're winning 8-7 games maybe. But I think the Warriors are on the other side of that, right? Like they've got, 2 seasons, 3
Easy. Yeah, the only pushback I'll give you here is football is way more fickle. Like windows are much tighter. Like if you have 3 bad drafts in a row, all of a sudden you're not good again. You constantly having to replenish every draft. And in the NBA, if you draft Steph Curry, you're good for a decade, that type of thing. So
either way, it sucks. It all sucks. But the Warriors are on their way back. So again, one last plug, Light Years Premium, live draft show starting at, Sam, I believe 3:30 Pacific.
Let's go, guys. Yeah. We're going to put up our big boards on Premium this week, and we are 9 days away from the draft.
All right, man. Finally.
Later.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.